Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here's a grim greeting. More than 1,000 counties, making up a third of the country, now qualify as coronavirus hotspots, according to Dr. Deborah Birx of the White House Task Force. And the U.S. set a record on Friday for new daily cases with more than 100,000. President Trump held a rally in Florida over the weekend where, after supporters chanted "Fire Fauci," he hinted he might do just that and fire Dr. Anthony Fauci after the election. Fauci recently warned America is in for what he called a whole lot of hurt as people begin to gather indoors this winter.
And in his comments to The Washington Post over the weekend, Dr. Fauci said, "We could not be positioned more poorly when it comes to COVID-19. For more, let's bring in Dr. Peter Hotez, who studies infectious diseases at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. Doctor, welcome.
Good to talk to you.
Doctor, if we look at a map of where the coronavirus is spreading rapidly, the upper Midwest, states like Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, Iowa, Indiana, are bright red compared to the rest of the country. Why is that?
Yeah, that's right. So what we're seeing now is the big fall and soon to be winter wave of COVID-19 that many of us have been anticipating. And we're heading quickly towards 100,000 new cases a day. And it seems to be ramping up the most in the upper Midwestern part of the country and across the Great Plains into the Mountain West. And a lot of that is due to the cold weather. We think people indoors. Also, the virus survives better in the colder, drier atmosphere. So it's the perfect storm. But as we head towards the colder months, it's likely the whole country will be affected. We're just seeing it there first.
Mm. I want to ask you about something else. A new Stanford University study says Trump's rallies are to blame for at least 30,000 COVID-19 cases and at least 700 deaths. This study, which compared infection rates in counties where Trump had a rally versus counties where he did not, is still pending peer review. But your initial thoughts, how direct of a line can you draw between the president's rallies and some of these clusters we're seeing?
Well, remember, it's not only just the rallies. This gets really to the bigger question that what you're seeing now out of the White House is rather than actually create a national strategy to control COVID-19, they've moved in the opposite direction. And it's tragic that they've taken this direction because it almost certainly will lead to an uptick in the number of Americans who perish from this epidemic. We're already at 230,000 Americans who've died from COVID-19. And by early next year, those numbers are projected to double. All of this is preventable. But when you mount an anti-science disinformation campaign led by people like Scott Atlas and the White House Coronavirus Task Force, this is what you get. So, yes, the rallies are terrible in promoting transmission, but it's just a piece of a much larger disinformation effort. And now you heard over the weekend about the president again attacking Dr. Fauci, you know, discrediting scientists. Mm-hmm. It's pretty awful what's happening nationally.
You mentioned Scott Atlas. He's the White House policy advisor on the coronavirus. He apologized over the weekend because he accidentally gave an interview to RT News, a known Russian TV program and registered foreign agent. How does this impact the Trump administration's credibility when it comes to handling this virus?
Well, from my assessment, they have no credibility anyway to begin with. I mean, because of this concerted disinformation campaign, which, by the way, is reinforced by the Russians. They're also aggressively interfering with our social media. So this appearance on RT, Russia Today, which is really the propaganda arm of the Putin government, is just yet another example of this.
Well, a lot of folks are now thinking about whether to travel for Thanksgiving. What is your advice? I mean, New York Governor Cuomo actually made a plea for residents over the weekend there not to leave the city this holiday season. Is there any way we can safely gather this year, or should we all be scratching our trips?
Well, remember what this is going to look like. We are going to see the worst part of the epidemic, as bad as that peak in March and April was, and then the larger peak in the summer. In some ways, those are potentially the warm-up acts for what we're going to see as we move into December and into January. So it's going to be a very tough time for the country. And I was hoping to have my oldest daughter, who's a research scientist at UCLA, come and visit us We, you know, I had to basically ask them not to come. And it was really devastating for my wife and I because we haven't seen them since January. But we felt it was just too risky. So this is going to be a very sad time as we move into the holiday season for many families. But one thing I like to remind people is it won't go on forever. We will have vaccines as we move towards the middle of next year, but there will be some dark days ahead for the country.
That's Dr. Peter Hotez, who studies infectious diseases at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. Doctor, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.